Maayong adlaw. Welcome back to episode 2 of season 4 for the Philippine X and Wellness podcast. I am your host, Cheryl Sampson Ramirez. Following our initial episode of season 4, Healing from Sexual Trauma with LMFT Emerald Rubio, we are following our previous episode by exploring additional mental health resources in our community in alignment with May Mental Health Awareness Month. For this episode, we will be talking with founder and CEO of Sweet Mango Therapy Group and Bay Area Chapter Lead of Therapy Nai, Christine Melendrez. As mentioned in previous episodes, all views discussed are for informational and educational purposes only. It's not meant to be medical advice, nor does it constitute therapy or professional advice. Always consult with your healthcare practitioner, especially before starting any exercise or new health program, or a qualified mental health professional for your particular condition. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome to our podcast, Christine Melendrez. Hi, Christine.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really honored, excited, and happy to be here.
We're happy that you have agreed to be on the podcast too, and we can't wait for you to share more about Sweet Mango Therapy and Therapy Nai. So we typically like to open our episodes with knowing where our guests are from. So Christine, where are both sides of your family from and where are you currently streaming from?
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So my father, his last name is Ramos and he is from Bacolor, Pampanga. My mother was, and she's her last name was Blanco. Her maiden name, and she is from Butolan, Zambales, where I was born. I was actually born in the capital, Iba, and I was raised in Daly City, California, and now I'm currently residing in San Ramon, California, the Confederate villages of Lishan.
Cool. I now would like to learn a little bit more about you. And we're going to dive into our episode, Sweet Mango Therapy and Therapy Nai. You're a licensed clinical social worker like myself. Yay, social workers. This is May Mental Health Awareness Month. And you're the founder and CEO of Sweet Mango Therapy Group, the Bay Area Chapter Lead for Therapy Nai. You serve on the board of directors for PhilPro and hold the role of co-coordinator of mentorship for the AAPA Division on Philippine Ex-Americans, also known as your living powerhouse, to say the least. Let's start with Sweet Mango Therapy Group. What is Sweet Mango Therapy Group, and what services do you offer to our community?
So Sweet Mango Therapy Group, it is one of the first Filipino-owned group psychotherapy practices that serve the Filipino XA community and AAPI community in California. We provide telehealth services and also in-person in San Francisco and in San Ramon. We offer individual and family therapy and now rolling out group therapy for individuals. Each therapist, so there's about 8 of us now and we're growing, has their own specialty. And we primarily serve women, Filipino women and Asian women. But again, everyone has their own specialty. So we have a clinician that likes to work with mothers and another clinician that likes to work, you know, with those that want to heal from trauma or intergenerational trauma, things like that.
Awesome. Now, similarly, since you're the newly appointed Bay Area Chapter Lead for Therapy Nai, tell our community what Therapy Nai is and what you aim to provide our community.
Yes, so Therapy Nai is where ancestral healing and mental health services intersect. We are bridging the gap between therapists, healers, innovative mental health resources, and Filipino AX people around the world seeking support. So it is a global directory of healers and therapists. Now that there are chapters, right? There's a Hawaii chapter, SoCal chapter, a Bay Area chapter, we are looking into creating more programming for those that are in the directory and thinking about being in the directory and also for the community as a whole.
Right. It's so similar to what we do as well. So I'm glad that we're taking the opportunity to collaborate on this podcast. Now, tell us more about your personal journey, Christine. What launched you on this mental health journey, and what inspired you to start Sweet Mango Therapy Group?
Good question. I really appreciate that. So it has been a very long journey. So I am the eldest granddaughter on both sides of my family. Growing up in a Filipino household full of medical professionals, I knew early on that I did not want to be one.
Okay.
Although, you know, it was encouraged in our household to become a nurse or a doctor, I really didn't know what I wanted to be. So I am the classic example of someone who didn't know what they wanted to be when they grew up. And even when I was in college, you know, I came in as a computer science major and like literally changed my major after 6 weeks of school. And even when I graduated, you know, I graduated with a sociology degree, a minor in education. I taught preschool first, and then after some time, did some youth organizing work. I worked at a law firm thinking I wanted to go into, you know, into law. I was a research assistant, and I even worked in tech for a little bit. It wasn't until I came to a place in my life where I really had to dig deeper and really evaluate, you know, I'm one of those people that think about, like, what is my purpose in life, right? What I want to be driven by passion to and purpose. And so I knew I wanted to help others in a more meaningful way, in a deeper way. And so I decided to pursue social work. Again, I didn't know what that was going to look like. You know, my first year internship was at a group home for pregnant women in crisis. And
okay.
The second year, I actually worked in psychiatry, child and adolescent. So I am trained child therapist and play therapy and CBT, and I loved it. After graduating, I actually worked for the medical. I actually went to the medical field as a medical social worker for 10 years, where I served all populations from womb to tomb, from the NICU to palliative care to hospice, right? And it wasn't until the pandemic where I realized, you know what, I want to go back into mental health. And because of all the things that were going on in the world, I went into some existential crisis, and like not only me, but I think those around me, right? And so we as a community were being faced with so much grief and trauma and collective grief and trauma,
right?
Together, even with the AAPI hate going on, right? And so something inside of me decided, you know what, it's time that I go back into mental health. There's a lack of Filipino therapists. And because I'm such a community-oriented and family-oriented person, I didn't want to do this alone. So I decided to form a group. And in honor of my culture and heritage, I named it Sweet Mango because Sambales, the province where I was born, is known to have the sweetest mangoes in the world. And so when I look at Sweet Mango and how it's grown, it is a manifestation of who I am and what I value. You know, it was scary at first because I didn't see anyone doing, or I've never seen anyone do what I'm doing. And so it's like, I almost felt like being exposed, like, is this right? You know, and there were definitely moments of doubt, but looking back, I don't regret it at all.
That's awesome. Now, let's go back and revisit our earlier question on why you decided to choose a mental health route after exploring all these various professions, one considering you to be a lawyer. Why mental health for you?
Mental health is a deep, personal, important issue to me. I unfortunately have witnessed the heartbreaking consequences of mental health difficulties firsthand. As a close friend and family member of mine, of Filipino descent, tragically took their own lives at a young age. These experiences have fueled my desire to work towards improving mental health outcomes for Filipinos and Filipino Americans. and other marginalized communities. I am aware that mental health and mental health conditions are highly and often stigmatized in our community, and it is quite often discouraged and unaccepted because of shame or hiya, right? But it's concerning, you know, given that, you know, suicide has been a problem among Filipino American adolescents in the U.S. There have been studies that have shown that Filipino American adolescents are at higher risk for suicide attempts compared to other Asian American groups. And, you know, I am an immigrant. You know, I am someone who has experienced immigration trauma and have had my own story of depression and anxiety. And, you know, growing up with parents in the healthcare field, you know, mental health still wasn't talked about or looked at as a way to help heal and to cope with challenges of depression and anxiety. So, you know, this is why I've decided to go into this field.
Yeah, there's been a lot of loss in our community. Honestly, that's part of the reason why we also launched Philippine X in Wellness. It came out of the birth of the pandemic, of our community just experiencing a lot of grief and loss, exactly to what you mentioned, to also experiencing API hate and how that's impacted our community. And I can't relate to you enough on why having these platforms are so important to our community in providing them a space and a container to talk through their trauma, their intergenerational trauma, and many of the things that have been impacted as a result of that. Too many loved ones lost, and not enough space to lose more. You also have a very unique organization where you hone in specifically on the Filipinx, Filipina, Filipino American community. Why focus on specifically our community? I know it's obvious that you're also Filipina, but why do you choose to dive in particularly with and focus on our community when it comes to providing these mental health services?
We are the second largest population, you know, growing here in America. I don't know if those stats have changed recently. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Statistic?
Yes. Unfortunately, there are not many Filipinx therapists and mental health professionals. And for me, representation truly matters, and also having a culturally responsive therapist can be healing. You know, I'm not up to date with statistics. I'm not an academic or anything like that where I study this, but and I don't think it takes a scholar to know, like, look, there's not many of us out there that do this work. And so, and I'm highly aware of that. And so I think, you know, I have decided to work with this population to show that, look, there is another way to heal other than praying. You know, I am, you know, full disclosure, I am a spiritual, prayerful person. You know, I have my faith that I lean on. But I know that when it comes to depression and anxiety and trauma, that you need a little extra support. There are other ways to heal other than praying. And, you know, for me, faith without action is dead. You know, that's what the Bible says. And, like, I think being open to the gifts, the universe, God, you know, has given us on this planet, and what we learn from the gift of science, you know, of psychotherapy, of somatic therapy. I think these are wonderful ways to heal this generation and future generations, and even our ancestors, because as you heal, as I heal, as we heal the generations before us and the generations after us.
Truly. We also talked about, Christine, as we were preparing for this episode, the unique development of Sweet Mango Therapy Group, and you wanted to create a profession and a career route that would allow you to support your family better, right? Tell us a little bit more, shed some light on why you've developed Sweet Mango Therapy Group and the structure that you've created, and how does this model help you to further support your own family?
Thank you. I really appreciate that question. So I'm a mother of two. My oldest is 10 years old and he is autistic. I have a daughter that's 7, and we have family support, but it is still limited because our parents are, they're older now, they're retired, and they have, we don't have the kind of support where they're able to help care for our children on a daily basis, which is fine. And, you know, I was, like I mentioned earlier, I worked for the hospital system for a decade. And in that system, I had to work weekends and work nights, and I was paid hourly, so I didn't have much flexibility. And so I had to think about my children and what I really wanted for them and how I wanted my family to live and to survive in our day-to-day. And so with my son being autistic, he goes through various therapies, from ABA, which is behavioral therapy, and speech therapy. He's gone through occupational therapy, and this is both in and outside of school, right? And so he has many needs, and including my daughter, she has her own needs as well. And so I just knew working my 9-to-5 or even weekends or nights, you know, whatever shift I had, it wasn't going to support my family sustainably. I think even just financially, it's very expensive to live in the Bay, for one. And so, you know, this is a big reason why I decided to start Sweet Mango. It's, you know, I would say my children are my main reason. There's various reasons, like I talked about, why I started the practice, and there's so much intention mm-hmm. around it. But at the end of the day, it comes back to healing my mm-hmm. family. You know, and I really believe it starts in the home. And, sure. Yeah, and so they are my inspiration, you know, and I truly, when I talk about and stand for intergenerational healing and generational wellness, you know, I try to model that for myself and my family and my community. And I'm able, you know, I want to start here at home and let that, you know, like I said, Sweet Mango is a manifestation of who I am.
Yeah. Whew. This is some really powerful work that you're really putting out there for our community, Christine. And I'm really glad that we're able to just have a container for you to share that. You mentioned that you have in Sweet Mango Therapy a different therapist that specializes in different things. What do you think is your niche and your specialty?
So I, you know, when I first started, I did want to work with kids and teens, but again, the pandemic happened, so it was really hard to do that online, right? And so mm-hmm. pivot and decided to work with women, with high achieving women that struggle with anxiety, trauma, imposter syndrome, burnout, right? And that sort of transformed, you know, now 3 years into the practice, I enjoy working with leaders in the community that want to address intergenerational trauma that show up in their work as leaders, as entrepreneurs, as politicians, teachers, and academia. I really enjoy working with this niche.
Why particularly this niche for you?
I identify well with them. You know, it's the leaders, the type A's, the perfectionists.
Yeah.
I always tell the clinicians that work for me, like, look, as you're discovering your niche, your ideal client, the ones that you want to work with, usually, if you think about it, it is a past or present version of yourself. you know, in an avatar. And so it's someone you can relate to.
It must be fun to, like, you know, serve a similar population that can relate to the experiences that you've also can identify with in the process. It's kind of like you're helping each other heal.
Yeah, it's definitely an honor to serve. I always learn something new from each client. I definitely feel healed when they're healed.
I can agree with you totally on that. Now, you mentioned your specialty within Sweet Mango Therapy Group, and you have additional providers that also offer therapy to our larger community. Can you mention maybe, as you know, as you're able to identify information, who they are and what they specialize in for our community to understand, you know, how to reach out for you for a particular niche that you offer?
Right. So, okay, I could just go down the line. We have,
yes.
We have Nook Boston, who's an LCSW, licensed clinical social worker. She's Laotian American, and her family and her did flee the country of Laos due to communism and war. She did come to the United States as a refugee at the age of 2 and grew up in the Central Valley. She has over 60 years of experience as a social worker and is currently the clinical supervisor at Sweet Mango Therapy Group for our pre-licensed clinicians. She does practice cultural humility and trauma-informed practices. What I know about Nook is that she does like working with mothers. So I would say that that would be her niche. And then we have Alyssa Casimiro, who is also an LCSW. She enjoys working with millennial Gen Z women who grapple with anxiety, imposter syndrome, and self-confidence. And she is also mixed race. So anyone that is struggling with that as well and their identity, I think should be a good fit for that. Then we have Nikki Abelita, who's also an LCSW, and she's a first-generation queer Filipinette. She recently joined us and is the co-founder of Sacramento Filipinx LGBTQIA+, which is a collective uplifting queer and transgender Filipinx Americans. And she does love working with individuals that identify as LGBTQIA+, BIPOC individuals, and especially those that struggle with their identity. Then we have Maxine Soriano, who's an LMFT, and she is Filipina, and she absolutely loves working with women and also likes working with teens as well. There is Dr. Gabe Corpus, who is a psychologist, licensed clinical psychologist, and he is a second generation Filipino man who absolutely loves serving our community, and he likes working with emerging adults, young adults, and adults navigating many aspects of their life. He does have over 7 years of experience, clinical experience, and is really a joy to work with. And then I just hired two other pre-licensed therapists, and we're still kind of working out who they want to work with. But they will be offering sessions at a lower cost and some sliding scale as well.
Okay. Wow, that's a roster that you have. So I'm glad that you were able to share the different specialties that you offer with Sweet Mango Therapy Group.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to seeking therapy, do you offer in-person teletherapy? Is it a mixture of both?
Yeah, so we primarily offer telehealth services, although I did recently just open a San Francisco office on Sutter Street at the Philippine Consulate Building on the 3rd floor. It's in a co-working space called Dynamical Space, and we're there on Wednesdays. So that's available for the folks who live in the area. And then we also have an office in San Ramon that's open on Thursdays.
Awesome. Now, do folks or your potential clients, do they go through their insurance or do they pay you all directly? How does that work if they're want to pursue therapy with one of your practitioners?
So we do offer a private pay rate and also can provide what's called a super bill. So if you have, for instance, like a PPO that has out-of-network benefits, we can definitely accommodate for that. And then we also take Kaiser Northern California Insurance and Lyra, which is an EAP panel for those who have Lyra from their work.
Great. Now, I wanted to ask you about Sweet Mango Therapy. Let's dive in deeper to get to understand more of your organization, your business that you started. I know you understand and you offer individual therapy around anxiety. You've mentioned already trauma, intergenerational trauma. You've also mentioned depression, imposter syndrome. And in your mission, you specialize in serving the Philippinex and API communities. Being that we're a global podcast, there's been various stigmas held around seeking mental health support within our community, right? That are rooted in some of our cultural values. We've had many doctors, PhD candidates out there name those cultural values that really get in the way of our community seeking support and also specifically mental health support. Now, what advice do you have for our community who may have entertained getting therapeutic support, but they just don't know how or where to start?
So I would say, I know it can be discouraging and foreign because you've never done it, your family has never done it, but don't give up, you know, give it a chance. I recognize that sometimes there are barriers to treatments. And I would say if you really are seeking another way to heal other than what you're familiar with and really wanting to give professional therapy support a chance to keep trying and, you know, reach out to therapists, providers, go to your doctor or ask a friend, maybe a friend that you know that you trust that has talked about therapy. You could also start, obviously, at the Therapy9 directory. Inclusive therapist is another good one. If you are looking for a culturally responsive therapist, other directories out there would be Psychology Today. If you're looking for more of a lower cost option, there's Open Path Collective. Sometimes your workplace offers EAP, which is employee assistance program. So there are resources there, especially if you want to keep it confidential. And also by going to your health insurance and seeing what they would be able to cover for you.
I wanted to ask you and lean more into you being also a licensed clinical social worker and a brain spotting practitioner. Now explain to our audience, our community, explain the practice of brain spotting and how clients can benefit from this particular modality.
So brain spotting, it's a brain-based modality of treatment, which has been around for 21 years. And others have called it like a sister of EMDR because it was actually founded by Dr. David Grant, who was doing EMDR on a professional figure skater. And so it is a form of treatment where we use our eye positions to find your brain spot. And when we find your brain spot, we're able to access the inner part of our brain where our resources and emotions lie. It allows us to process trauma in a different way. It's a somatic type healing. So we do ask, what do you feel in your body? Where do you feel that, right? Notice that. And we also use bilateral sound healing. There is a playlist that you listen to while in session. We don't always use it, but it's there. So it is a place where clients want to go from dysregulation to regulation, or maybe emotional imbalance to emotional well-being. It's also great for performance anxiety. So for artists, actors, and athletes who've experienced sports trauma, I've helped clients that struggled with standardized testing, like test anxiety. So we've used brain spotting for that. And I myself personally enjoy using brain spotting. I like using the modality of treatment for those that want to expand. So when I say expand, expansion of something, whether it's art or self-love or self-esteem, for those that want to reach for more. And so I can sit here all day and explain what brain spotting is, but to be honest, because it is an experiential experience, you really have to experience it to really understand what it is.
And how do you think this particular modality benefits our community?
It benefits our community because we're able to help heal the nervous system, you know, and it is something that really goes deep within, right? It's a different way of doing therapy. It's non-oppressive. We're trusting that the brain knows what it needs to heal. Mm-hmm. And so the therapist actually doesn't do a lot of talking. The client does. And so we are trusting that you are the expert in your life. And so I think this is a great way for our community to heal, especially because we are a community that had a history of intergenerational historical trauma and oppression.
Got it. Now, as a part of Sweet Mango Therapy Group, when we prepared for this episode, you also mentioned support groups that you're currently offering. Can you share more about that with us, Christine?
Absolutely. So there will be a virtual support group in honor of Asian American Heritage Month and LGBTQIA plus Pride. And that is going to be facilitated by Nikki Abuleta starting on May 25th. And it is a supportive space where we can navigate the complexities of Asian LGBTQIA plus intersectional identities, cultural influences, and personal narratives. You'll have the opportunity to unpack intergenerational trauma, inner child healing, and societal pressures, family expectations, all of it. It's going to be exciting. And the team is also working on a second group, and they've named it Halo Halo. And for those that don't know what Halo Halo is, it translates to mix mix, but it is a Filipino dessert. Super, super yummy. This is for the mixed race Filipinx who struggle with self-esteem surrounding their mixed race and multiracial identity. It's someone who is looking for a sense of belonging that maybe has experienced colorism or not feeling enough, and is feeling isolated and excluded because of this. And so this is going to be facilitated by Alyssa Casimiro and also Nikki Abelina. And I forgot to mention earlier, Alyssa, she's actually mixed. So she's Chamorro and Filipina. She is rooted in the Chamorro culture.
Mm-hmm.
And really appreciates the values of community and family. So she's definitely someone that is a wonderful clinician. And I think I'm really excited for the support group that they have in store for the community.
Now, let's start to talk more about some events that you have in store, starting with GAMOT, a wellness summit for Philippinex and Filipino Americans in celebration of Asian American Heritage Month and Mental Health Awareness Month, the month of May. That will take place in a few days, actually, on Saturday, May 18th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Dynamico Space. You just mentioned your office in San Francisco. Give us a sneak peek of what attendees can expect at this summit. And for those who are wishing to attend, is it free or do you have information on how they can attend?
Absolutely. It is a free donation-based event, suggested donation of $15 to $25. It is a wellness summit for the Filipina American, hosted by Therapinay, Bay Area chapter, to build Kapwa while making mental health therapy, wellness, and healing resources accessible and fun. We want to highlight regional resources for Filipino mental health and healing and create an environment that makes mental health and wellness services less intimidating and more approachable. So there will be vendors open from various areas of wellness. We will start the day with yoga, restorative yoga at 9 a.m. And that's optional. Sign up is required. Then the networking vendors open up at 10. We have various activations open right now. There will be licensed therapists and Reiki practitioners available for some demos and wellness checks. The wellness checks are complimentary. It comes with their ticket. The Reiki sessions are something that you do need to sign up and pay for. And then we'll have various workshops going on. We have a workshop by Trina Dilad from Radical Visionary Collective, and she'll be doing a workshop on visioning for liberation. And then we'll have a welcome speech by Mayor Justin Manalo of Daly City, and then myself. The second workshop will be from Monica Ramil. She's the Filipina therapist on Instagram, and she'll be doing a workshop on exploring how guilt impacts our healing as Filipina ex-Americans. And then at 12, there will be a panel of Therapinize, moderated by myself. And so we'll have Dr. Alicia Del Prado, Vanessa Solis, LCSW, Maria Grace Woke, LMFT, and Ruth Christine DeMagmilio, LMFT, in this awesome panel of Filipina therapists in the area. And then we will have, after that, a workshop by Dr. Greg Desierto, who is the co-chair of DOFA, of that organization we had spoken about earlier. And he's going to be doing a workshop on, it's called Salamin, which is Mirror in Tagalog, Breaking the Silence. Then we'll end the day with sound healing by practitioner, Reiki master and yoga teacher, Alyssa Lawrence Stone.
Wow. So you all, you've got to sign up for that. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sorry.
I forgot about the 5 p.m. four-course pre-colonial Kamayan dinner. So that's also going to happen. So there'll be a break, and then there'll be the dinner. And that one's hosted by Chef Yana Gubanababu, who is a Philippine-born, ancestrally taught chef who actually brought Kamayan to all 50 states. So it's going to be a treat.
Wow. Are most of your presenters, your moderators, your facilitators, are they Bay Area based, or are they all from, where are they from? Where are they coming in from?
They're all Bay Area based. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Got it. Now, both offer retreats in the U.S., and you're a part of planning a Philippines wellness retreat for medical professionals and therapists this year in the fall, right? Or winter. I know that you're still, that's still being determined. I think this is a brilliant idea, especially for medical professionals and therapists who often experience career burnout, compassion fatigue, or secondary trauma in their work. I think at some point, we could also probably add educators to your target audience. Let us in a little on your vision for this retreat and what potential attendees can look forward to, Christine.
Wow. So this retreat is definitely going to be an intimate healing space. And we've chosen to have it in Tagaytay on September 13, 14, and 15, 3 days. There will be definitely workshops. If you are a nurse, you will receive continuing education units. And there will be options for other kinds of wellness, such as yoga and massage therapy, which is included in the package. So excited for that. And we will actually end the weekend with community outreach. I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but definitely something where we can connect with the local community and heal together.
I think I'm personally curious if you have the venue in Tagaytay yet, because I actually have an aunt that has a place in Tagaytay.
There is a place we're looking at, but I haven't signed the contract yet. And that's
okay.
I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, no worries. Were your parents being, you know, healthcare providers themselves, and you working in the medical field, was that the impetus of you also providing this retreat for medical professionals and therapists? Or
yeah, so you know, about retreats, I launched Sweet Mango Retreats late mm-hmm. last year, and I actually just had a day retreat last Saturday with Filipino women in San Francisco. It was amazing. We did some brain spotting, intention setting. It was called Tea Time for the spring. And we also had a Reiki practitioner there. And, you know, it was magical. And, you know, I, being in the mental health space, a lot of my colleagues are actually hosting retreats, overnight retreats, week retreats, day retreats. Although I am not seeing this happen in the BIPOC Filipina XO community. And this is something that my dream is to bring this offering, this service to our community. And I understand that, I don't know, we'll see. I don't know how ready we are, right, for this. I mean, I understand it's even a struggle at times to bring people to therapy, how much more a retreat, right? And so I think a retreat model, I believe it really does help our community because we are a people of kapwa, of togetherness. And, you know, in a retreat space, it is a way to heal, a decolonial way to heal, because it's not in the therapy room. And it is a way to heal collectively, you know, self and community care all in one. And so when we talk about this Philippines retreat, this is actually my legacy project with PhilPro. And PhilPro is Filipino Young Leaders Program. And I was part of batch 10 last August, where we went on a week-long immersion to the Philippines, where we were matched up with mentors and went on, I guess, very thematic days. So we had a day where we were in community, like community day, and then government day, where we had a chance to visit Malacan Young, right? And a business day, and there was a media day where we went to visit GMA. And so it was quite an immersive experience from like 7 a.m. to like 10 p.m. We were just on, right? And so to be part of that program, you have to present what's called a legacy project. And for me, what I've decided to do, you know, again, this is from the pandemic, right? And so what really truly inspired me was the film Nurse Unseen.
I haven't seen it, but I have seen promotion on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Nurse Unseen is a legacy project of someone from Batch 9, Michelle Josu. And so, you know, two realities have emerged, and that Filipino nurses accounted for roughly 25% of nursing fatalities in the U.S. due to COVID, despite comprising only 4% of the U.S. nursing workforce. And then also the need for a culturally, linguistically responsive mental health care for Filipinos. And so this legacy project aims to promote sustainability and wellness amongst our healthcare workers and the broader Filipino community. By establishing the retreats, I want to create a space where we can provide culturally responsive and trauma-informed practices, you know, to break the intergenerational pattern of professional burnout.
Oh, gosh. I can tell you, Christine, how much of alignment we're in right now and how timely it is that we're launching this episode on the 15th. Actually, 2 days ago, I just did a presentation for nurses that were based not only in California, but also in Hawaii. And we plugged Philippine X and Wellness as a podcast, and they are probably, hopefully, listening to this episode now. And the more we hear more about your retreat, I hope the more we can present these offerings to, like, our medical providers, our nurses, who maybe haven't always thought about prioritizing their own wellness due to the intergenerational trauma, due to the challenges, or, you know, due to even the fact of looking at mental health as a stigma within our community because it brings in hiya or shame. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing more about your wellness retreat in full. And I'm really hoping secretly that these nurses that I spoke to are listening to this episode so that they can not only better provide for themselves, but also provide that proper patient care once they've been able to fill their own cup. Being that we're a wellness podcast, we typically like to also ask our guests what their own wellness routines and self-care practices consist of. And we ask all our guests this question. You hold many respectable roles in the community, Christine, and hats. How do you balance it all? What are your own wellness routines or self-care practices that you'd like to share with us outside of your professional career and the many hats you hold?
Yeah, so for me, my wellness practice, I go to therapy, right? So that is so important for me, that I have a place where I can output, because I take in so much, you know, from my clients, from the staff, my family. I also, this is a new thing this year. I decided to join the gym, and it's not mainly really to, you know, it is for my health, but it is my safe space where it's quiet and no one's bothering me. So I do, you know, I go to yoga class. I've been trying out bar. I go to classes. So I'll do restorative yoga. I'll do bar. I plan to do some cycling because I love indoor cycling. And like to just, you know, after the class, sit in the steam room and just sit there and take a nice shower. And then after that, moisturize my body. Like, so skincare is very important to me. I try to do a massage one time a month, if not every other. You know, move my body, obviously, and making sure my body gets that care that it needs through the massage. And then I make time to go on a date with my hubby, right? And so, and hang out with my female friends. You know, I recently went to Las Vegas earlier this month with some female entrepreneurial friends, and we actually created a conference together, and it was legit, like a legit like conference with workshops and everything. But this, we still made time to have fun, right? And so that to me is self-care, is making sure that I'm able to feed and take care of my social wellness, right? Because we have eight dimensions of wellness. So for me, it's like a case-by-case thing. I have to kind of like identify what do I need in the moment, because it's not the same each time. And so that's how you balance, is you find out, okay, well, what feels imbalanced? You know, is it quiet time? Is it I'm needing time with my hubby? Is it I'm needing time with my daughter, right? That can be self-care. So yeah, that is my self-care.
Yeah, that's
practice.
So funny that you had a conference of your own in Vegas, because Vegas just seems to be the city of conferences. I feel like there's every conference that happens in Las Vegas. It's made for that. Amongst other things, right? And you know, that's interesting. You just identified that there are eight dimensions of wellness. I've seen this number vary throughout the internet. I'm curious, you know, what do you identify as the eight dimensions of wellness?
So I follow what SAMHSA says. And so that's emotional, environmental, financial, intellectual, occupational, physical, social, and spiritual. And I actually did a workshop on this for the UC Davis Carlos School of Sun Studies of Philippinic Studies last year with my colleague, Dr. Jeannie Celestial. We actually looked at the eight dimensions of wellness and like how we can address these dimensions from a decolonial feminist perspective.
Is that anywhere for folks to... maybe recorded anywhere for folks to watch, or you just kind of had to be there.
You know, on the YouTube world, gosh, I will like look it up and see.
Yeah, no worries. We'll probably, you know, once you find it, we'll share it on our platform for other folks to watch and follow. Now, as we begin to close, how can our community find you or learn about either Sweet Mango Therapy Group or Therapy Knife if they have questions?
Yes, absolutely. So you can follow us on Instagram at Sweet Mango Therapy. You can also email us at hello at sweetmangotherapy.com. Our website is sweetmangotherapy.com. It is spelled how it sounds, Sweet Mango Therapy.
Awesome. And Therapy Knife. Do you have any also ways for them to get more involved in Therapy Knife, find more about Therapy Knife?
Yeah, so there's two handles on Instagram. There's Therapy Knife, but it's the A is an X, so it's, you know, and then there's Dr. Dot.
Okay. And so Instagram is the best place to start for anyone wanting to learn more?
Yes, and then there's therapyknife.com, absolutely, okay, where the directory is.
Final words, Christine, is there anything else that you would want our community throughout the diaspora to know when it comes to accessing mental health services and wellness support in alignment with Asian Pacific American Heritage Month and Mental Health Awareness Month?
Yes, pretty much like I said before, I know that accessing mental health can be challenging, scary, discouraging. There's lots of barriers. I know this. But don't give up and keep trying to reach out, interview a bunch of therapists, find the right fit. When you start your therapy journey and maybe you're not clicking with your therapist at first, you know, give it some time, give feedback, right? And you still have the right to refuse and say no and start over. And so, and again, there's also so many ways to heal. There's different types of therapy. So I encourage folks, like if you try talk therapy, doesn't work for you, look into the somatic type healing, right? There's EMDR, somatic experiencing, brain spotting. There's also inner child work that folks like to do, or narrative therapy where you're able to tell your story. CBT, DBT, there's so many out there. It also just depend on what you're working on. But definitely there are resources on the internet and with therapists that you can reach out and like ask, you know, what might fit what you're looking for.
Thank you so much, Christine. I really appreciate all the profound words that you've shared with our community, and we're so grateful to have you on the platform to talk about Sweet Mango Therapy and also about Therapy Nye. We wish you luck and nothing but well wishes when it comes to launching both on our platform. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here today.
It's an honor for us. I mean, we look forward to witnessing your journey unfold, and we can't wait to see the powerful work that will spawn from both endeavors in serving the multiple wellness needs of our global community together as we continue to collaborate with you all on this united effort. And to our community, our next episode for Pride Month will be about exploring the X in Philippine X as we talk with Gia and Dr. Pao Abustan, as an assistant professor of women's gender and sexuality studies from Cal State Los Angeles. This episode will air on Wellness Wednesday, June 12th. As we close, we'd like to acknowledge once again our guest speaker, Christine Melendrez, our graphic designer and beatmaker for our opening and closing track, Richie, our advisors, Allison De La Cruz, Rian De Los Reyes, and Safo Tiolnogo, our community partners, This Filipino American Life, and all of our community members for your shares and support. As always, we'll share more about our guests' offerings on our Instagram stories and highlights for permanent access with any of their upcoming events. Be sure to follow us at Philippine X and Wellness on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and on X at Philippine X, the letter N, well, followed by the letters N and S. Don't forget to continue to hit like and subscribe on our Philippine X and Wellness YouTube channel. Thank you always for believing in us. Be well, everyone. Continue to take care of yourselves and each other.
Salamat.
Badhang salamat. Tell me why we.